was opposed by the school boards association and by the school nutrition groups. And I think it makes sense, so Representative Nelson came up with the amendment that I think basically provides the same information to us so that we can really find out who is not getting lunch and who is not able to pay and how much it really costs the school districts. Members, there are a number of school districts that already pay for reduced lunch, have free lunches for children who are qualified under reduced lunch. And one of those, of course, is Minneapolis School District. Therefore, you know that they're already covering this cost.
Madam President, for what purpose does the lady rise? Point of order. State your point. I just want to direct Senator Johnson. This, just before her amendment, her comments seemed to be on a much broader topic, and so I would ask her to keep her comments to the amendment so that we can allow members to vote. Senator Johnson, to the amendment.
The amendment is for the study from the department, and I think it provides very good information for us, and we will find out how much it would cost each school district. Because if your school district is not currently providing free lunch to children who qualify for the reduced lunch, it is going to be costing you money. Those school districts who already cover that cost for whatever good reason they may have had, it doesn't really affect them because they're already covering that cost. And members, I think all of the school districts deserve the right to know how much it will cost them and how many children are really in need of a free lunch, even if they don't qualify for reduced lunch.
Senator Hoffman, on the amendment to the amendment.
Thank you, Madam President. Madam President, I just want to point out, where I come from, there are roughly 38,000 students, and approximately 23% of those students are on free and reduced. So when you look at the 77% of the students, 23% are on the reduced side of the students that go to the Anoka-Hennepin School District. The cost of an unfunded mandate, and when we first started talking about, Madam President, this bill, particular two wonderful bills that were put up early on in this session, there was $3 million and $4 million. It would have taken care of free lunch and reduced lunch for the whole state. And I got to tell you, Madam President, as I look at this, it's going to cost my district, who's been fighting for every penny because of the efficiencies we have, $150,000 of an unfunded mandate. We can fix this, but we can't just piecemeal it. I think this is a piecemealed approach and not a full systemic approach. And I'd rather see a systemic. Please vote this down.
On the A51 amendment, all those in favor say... What?
Madam President, I messed up. I mean, vote yes on the amendment. Sorry, I...
Okay. All those in favor of the A51 amendment, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay.
No.
The motion does not prevail. Now we're back to the A50 amendment. All those in favor of the A50 amendment, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay.
No.
The motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. Now we have a division's been requested. This is the Bonoff amendment, the A50 amendment. All those in favor of the A50 amendment, please rise. The Bonoff delete all amendment. The A50 amendment is before the body. All those in favor of the A50 delete all amendment, please rise.
Thank you. unfunded mandates. We know that anything goes.
Members may sit. The amendment is adopted. We have before us the Senate Bill 547 as amended. The Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate File Number 547, a bill for an act relating to education, clarifying testing requirements related to teacher licensure.
Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, the Secretary will take the roll. Senate is under call. Members should please vote.
Thank you. Look at them all with their fingers on the buttons. There's about five of them going on there. I have one switched already. Just close the roll already. Not tight, it's still between them, but there's about five Republicans with their figure on the button. Women, I'll switch those now. I knew we didn't vote. We never voted for the community.
There are four people excused. All members having voted, the secretary will close the roll. There being 30 ayes and 29 ayes and 31 nays, the bill fails to pass. Staying under motions and resolutions, we revert to messages from the House. The secretary will report the messages.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce the adoption by the House of the following Senate Concurrent Resolution herewith returned. Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 7 is Senate Concurrent Resolution relating to adjournment of the Senate and House of Representatives until 2014. Signed, Alban A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives. And Madam President, I have the honor to announce that the House has adopted the recommendation and report of the Conference Committee on Senate File Number 489 and repassed said bill in accordance with the report of the committee so adopted. Senate File Number 489, a bill for an act relating to retirement, Minnesota State Retirement System, Public Employees Retirement Association, and former local police and paid firefighter relief associations. Senate File Number 489 is herewith returned to the Senate. Signed, Alban A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
The next bill on special orders is Number 100 on general order, Senate File 271, Senator Champion. Oh. Senator Champion, Senator Bach.
Madam President, I move a recess of the Senate until about 9 p.m.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. The Senate stands in recess.
Mr. President, I impose a call to Senate.
The Senate is under call.
I move that further proceedings of the roll call be dispensed with and the Sergeant-at-Arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
On that motion, all those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. The Sergeant will bring in the absent members. Messages from the House.
Hey, tell me to. Yep. Okay, all right.
Messages from the House.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following House file, herewith transmitted. House file number 1214, signed Alban A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
We move then to the fourth order of business, first reading of House bills.
House Bill number 1214, a bill for an act relating to commerce, regulating motor vehicles, amending regulation of scrap metal processing, requiring proof of ownership or hold period for vehicles purchased for scrap.
House Bill 1214 will be given its first reading and referred to the Committee on Rules and Administration for comparison with Senate File 934, now on general orders. Remaining under motions and resolutions, we will now go to the special order list. And the next bill on the special order list is number 100 on general orders, Senate File 271, Senator Champion.
Thank you, Madam President. Madam President, I rise asking the body and you to support Senate File 271. Before I get to the specifics of this piece of legislation, I think it's important to put it in context. Why is it important? I have affectionately called this particular Senate file Driver's License for All, because we need to make sure that our roads are safe. This piece of a policy is really hoping to address or will address a public safety issue that affects us all. I believe if this bill passes, it creates safer roads, it increases the number of insured drivers, it decreases the number of car accidents, it protects the civil rights of all of our residents, and it creates family stability and healthier communities, and it promotes integration and collaboration between the immigrant community and local government. Madam President, I'm sure that you realize that almost 80% of Minnesotans drive to work each day. And I believe it's also important because it impacts our economy. I'll just lift up one immigrant community and that really affects our economy. In 2010, the Latino buying power in Minnesota totaled $5.1 billion. And Latino-owned businesses had sales and receipts of $1.6 billion and employed over 5,970 people in Minnesota. If all unauthorized immigrants were removed from Minnesota, the state would lose more than $4.4 billion in economic activity and $2.0 billion in gross state product and approximately 24,000 jobs. We all win. Businesses will be better equipped to recruit and retain workers. Workers will have the ability to have access and mobility to jobs, and we can help create financial stability. I believe this policy also helps with our future. As baby boomers retire, immigrant communities will increasingly be critical for continued economic growth and ensuring a steady flow of new workers. And the U.S. needs new taxpayers to help fund Social Security and Medicare and new workers to fill retirees' positions and provide health care services. Simply, if you look at this legislation, what it does is that it simply addresses the issue around providing license for all Minnesotans. Currently, if you can remember, when you first went to get your own driver's license, you had to provide proof of your identity, and you could do that with your U.S. birth certificate and other things. And then you would have to take two tests. You would have to take that written test, and you'd have to take the road test. And if you were successful in the written and road test, then you could apply for a license, pay the necessary fee, and receive a driver's license. Madam President, we are not changing anything as pertains to that process. There's also another process that occurs right now today. That process is if there's a person who comes to our wonderful country and to Minnesota from another country, that person would be given documentation to show that they're legally here in the state of Minnesota and in our country, and they could take that information along with proving their identity to Driver Motor Vehicle Services and also take the necessary test, the written test and the road test, and pay the necessary fee, and they will be given a driver's license. The only difference, Madam President, is with this process, the driver's license will contain what we call a status date, and that status date simply is the date that their legal papers expire here in the great state of Minnesota or in our country. That process is still going to occur, and in fact, I'm going to offer an amendment that will make sure, because initially in this piece of legislation, I was going to make all people go through one process, but we want to retain that process because we think that's a good process. And I did have the benefit of working with Senator Miller as well as Senator Pratt and others in order to make sure that this issue was addressed. So with that, before I go any further, Madam President, I would like to offer the amendment.
Secretary will report the amendment.
Senator Champion moves to amend Senate File Number 271 as follows, page 1, line 14, and this is the A-12 amendment.
Oh, okay, but I need
Senator Champion.
Thank you, Madam President. And what the A-12 amendment simply does is make sure it puts back into statute the language that we were attempting to repeal. If you look at line 1.5 on page 7, it deletes section 9. And if you look at the bill in section 9, that is our repealer. And so we are making sure that the information that's currently in statute stays in statute. So with that, Madam President, I ask that this body adopts the amendment.
Is there any questions on the A-12 amendment? Senator Ortman.
Madam President, I'm just waiting for a copy of the amendment.
Senator Champion.
Madam President, I explained the amendment already, Madam
okay.
President.
Okay. All right. We'll just wait. Does anyone else have any questions about the amendment? Senator Ortman? Okay. All right. All those in favor of the A-12 amendment, say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails.
Thank you, Madam President. So, Madam President, this bill also creates another class of license. It is a Class D license. Currently, in the state of Minnesota, we have a Class A, Class B, and Class C, and there are certain state and federal provisions that govern those class of licenses. Senate File 271 creates a new class, and the new class simply does this. Under the notion of proving one's identity, it just includes that the Department of Motor Vehicle and Services can also use as proof of identity a valid passport and a valid birth certificate with all the security features that it must have, that can be used in order to prove one's identity, as well as the person has to attest to being here in the state of Minnesota. They, again, would also still have to complete the two tests. They have to complete the written test. They have to complete the driving test. And if everything checks out, then they can apply for a driver's license, which would be a Class D license, and they then would pay the necessary fee and receive a license. Now, it's one thing that I want to say before I talk about what that license would look like, because there are some other changes that we will have on that driver's license. One is that this particular process was in place prior to 2003, so this is not new. And what we would also do with this Class D license, we also made sure that in the bill, the Secretary of State's office is directed to educate and to train election judges, so no election judge can utilize this Class D license as any form of identification purposes for voting, because we know they can't vote, and we wanted to make sure that information was there. And we have some language that's currently in the bill that the Secretary of State's office was okay with, and I also worked with Senator Newman in order to make sure that language was fine. One of the other things that is important to note about this card is that it would have on it, on the face, because this bill requires it, for it to say for driving only. Very clear on the top of the card, so everyone is very clear that it's for driving only. And Madam President, one of the things I would also like to say is that the Secretary, not only just the Secretary of State's office, but the Department of Motor Vehicle, indicated to me that the process that we've articulated in Senate File 271 is a process that they've done before and that they can continue to do it again, and there's no problem with them being able to verify any and all information. And with that, Madam President, I would stand for questions, because we believe that this is an important provision, and I believe it will create some stability and make our roads safer, and we will be able to go forward by being assured that our folks have the capacity, and they also have insurance in order to be on our roads.
Is there any discussion? Are there any amendments? Seeing no further amendments, Senator Brown.
Madam President, is the Senate under call?
The Senate is not under call.
Well, I think this is an important issue. I'd like to put the Senate under call.
The Senate is now under call. Senator Brown.
Madam President, I move that further proceedings under the roll call be dispensed with and the Sergeant at Arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. The Sergeant is instructed to bring in the absent members. So I was asking if there are any further amendments or discussion. Senator Senjum.
Thank you, Madam President. Just maybe one brief question. Senator Champion, would the TSA recognize this as an identity in airports across America?
Yes, Senator Champion.
Madam President, I couldn't quite understand what the question
was.
I'm sorry, I can speak louder. Senator Champion, would the TSA, I think it's Transportation Security Agency or whatever, the agency that monitors aircraft security across the country, as you get on an airplane, you're almost routinely asked to show a driver's license. Would this card, could it be used for identity purposes at airports across the nation?
Senator Champion.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Senjum, the answer to that question would be no. That's one of the reasons why we put on the front of the card for driving only, so that anyone who would see the car would be very clear that it cannot and should not be used for any other purpose.
Seeing no further amendments, the Secretary will give Senate File 271. Senator Torres Ray.
Thank you, Madam President, and thank you, members. Senator Champion, thank you for moving this important bill forward.
Senator Torres Ray, did you rise to offer an amendment? I was just going to do third reading. Okay, if there are no further amendments, the Secretary will give Senate File 271 its third reading.
Senate File Number 271, a bill for an act relating to transportation, modifying application procedures and requirements for driver's license, creating driving privilege license, and setting fee for issuance.
Senator Torres Ray.
Thank you, Madam President. Members, I wanted to take this opportunity to share a couple of stories with you because I think these stories are very relevant. I want you to know that I have been working with a large group of members of the Latino community who have been really looking for this opportunity and have been here as you saw them here today. And I thought that it was important that you would kind of share some stories with them and learn about some very challenging situations that particularly parents, women, who are really not able to transport their kids and do the work that they need to do for their families face every day. I was invited by a group of women one day to take the challenge to do laundry in a laundromat and to take the bus with my laundry so that I get a sense of how long it takes for an individual to do that and to be with children. And I did that. And what I learned was that in order to do laundry, I had to basically spend a whole day just getting to the place, getting out, and doing that important chore. But most importantly, members, what I learned is that there are a lot of women in the community who are responsible for transporting their kids to school. And these are very young kids that really need a parent to transport them while one is working or the other is responsible. We do these every day, members. And these children really pay a high price for really not being able to get to school. These are preschool children, very young children, who really need transportation and need their parents to take them from place to place. So, members, I hope that you take the time to learn about some of the challenges that people face when they don't have a driver's license and they are not able to kind of do their everyday work. We take our cars and move to places and take for granted these rights that we have to do this work. So I very much hope that you are able to support this very important bill on behalf of many people, particularly working class people who really need your support. Thank you, members.
Is there any further discussion? Senator Hamm.
Thank you, Madam President, members. This looks like it's a fairly, as was mentioned, fairly significant bill. We're getting on to 10 o'clock at night. It's Saturday night. About 48 hours before we're scheduled to adjourn. And we're still waiting on the bulk of the budget that we need to pass to meet the constitutional deadline that we have in this state. I understand there's still some conference committees that are not adjourned yet. They're still working on putting together those budgets. Tax committee, I think, for one, is still open. There may be another. And I know that the other body is still working on some things. And here we are, we're taking up a bill that not questioning for a minute the fact that it is significant. Maybe it's even a little too significant. Pretty big policy question being asked of this body to make at 10 o'clock at night, 48 hours before we're supposed to adjourn, when everybody in this room, I think, is wondering where the budget is and why we haven't gotten that done. And are we going to have time to get it done? And are we going to have time to have the hearing on the policies in the tax budget or the tax bill? And I just am wondering what the priorities are of the majority that we're going to be taking up our time working on issues like this that, again, not saying it isn't an important issue, but really questioning why, if this is a big issue, why we're waiting till 10 o'clock, 48 hours before we're going to adjourn without having our budget done, why we're taking this issue up now and why we're not working on getting the budget done. That's my question. And why you're asking members to try to focus on something that is a huge policy change that has huge implications that maybe not everybody's had a full chance to have an opportunity to get familiar with. And we're all thinking about the budget. We're all thinking about how we're going to get that budget passed and how we're going to get that tax bill passed and how we are wondering when we're going to get any sleep. And here we are, we're talking about this. And so I really question members of the majority what kind of operation you're running here and why you're doing things like this when we all are all here late at night trying to get the work of the budget done and why we're not doing that. That's what I'm wondering. And I think maybe for a significant policy issue like this, you know, maybe next year, which is a year we typically take up big policy issues, maybe that's a time to bring that kind of thing forward and bring it through some committees and have some more discussion, and who knows what will happen. But to try to pass something like this at this time of the session, this time of night, and try to ram this through, and I just wonder, really? That's what we're here for? Members, I think it would be ill-considered for us to try to make this kind of a policy change now and not think about trying to get the work of the budget done first.
Seeing no further discussion, the Secretary will take the roll on Senate File 271. Senate is under call. Senate is under call. Members shall vote. Members should please remain at their seats during the roll call.
Members should stay at their desks during the roll call.
Madam President, absentees, those who aren't excused.
Senator Russ is excused. All members having voted that desire to vote. Members, I believe we're trying to find Senator Sparks and Senator Metzen. Happening. Okay. They have Senator Metzen, Rest, and Sparks have all asked to be excused. All members having voted, the secretary will close the roll. There being 36 ayes and 28 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Senator Bach, there's no more business at the desk.
Madam President, I believe the House is on final speeches on the Environment Finance Bill, so I believe we'll recess, watch your email, as short a period of time as we can. When we have the Environment Bill, we'll take it up, so I expect 15, 20 minutes. I move the Senate do now recess.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. The Senate is in recess.
Sir Latz.
I move that further proceedings under the roll call be dispensed with and the sergeant be directed to bring in the absent members.
All those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. The sergeant is instructed to bring in the absent members. We revert to third order of business, messages from the House.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce that the House has adopted the recommendation and report of the Conference Committee on House File Number 976 and repassed said bill in accordance with the report of the committee so adopted. House File Number 976, a bill for an act relating to state government, appropriating money for environment, natural resources, and agriculture, modifying and providing for certain fees, modifying and providing for disposition of certain revenue. House File Number 976 is herewith transmitted to the Senate, signed Alvin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
Senator Tomasoni.
Thank you, Madam President. Madam President, I move that the foregoing recommendations of the Conference Committee report on House File Number 976 be now adopted and that the bill be repassed as amended by the Conference Committee.
Senator Tomasoni, and explain the differences.
Thank you, Madam President. First of all, let me just thank my conferees who did a good job and worked really hard. We were up till 1 o'clock in the morning last night and banged the gavel right at 1 o'clock to end the conference committee. Senator Saxhog, Senator Metzen, Senator Westrum, and Senator Sparks, and my staff, Laura Bach and Scott Sandy, and our researchers and fiscal, Greg Knopf and Dan Mueller. They do an excellent job, and we couldn't do any of this without them. Members, House File 976 is the Omnibus Environment and Agriculture Appropriations Bill. Within the budget itself, we have the PCA, DNR, Bowser, Ag, Met Council Regional Parks, and the Minnesota Zoo. What the bill does as it came back from conference is it provides an increased general fund appropriation of $25 million. It also has increased appropriations from other funds of $20.5 million. It includes full funding of the governor's recommendation for the Game and Fish Fund to provide additional game and fish funded habitat activities in the state. It increased general fund appropriations of $10.1 million to make the needed investments in our state forests, and of this amount, $9 million will be in the base. It also increased general fund appropriations of $7.6 million for DNR to address groundwater and surface water problems in the state. $6.2 million increased general fund for aquatic invasive species, $1.6 million in general fund for silica sand technical assistance teams and rules to address the increased silica sand activities in the state, additional protection for trout streams in southeastern Minnesota, increased environmental review of and for silica sand projects. It fully funds the EQB at the governor's request. It fully funds the biomonitoring program. There's an architectural paint stewardship program. It restores the base funding of the Conservation Corps of Minnesota. There's language for the Agricultural Water Quality Certification Program, which was recommended by the governor, and the money will be in the legacy bill. There's language to move our biofuels industry to include advanced biofuels. There's pollinator protection provisions to address the loss of pollinators in the state. $450,000 in increased money for food inspection programs to continue our high-quality inspection food programs. The governor's level of funding of agricultural growth research and innovation programs, of which $2 million is for county fairs. It fully funds the Department of Agriculture's laboratory. What's not in the bill, members, we had, going in, the House had a base of $23 million, as well as $12 million in fees. None of those fees are in this bill, and so there's no water permitting fees, there's no mining fees, there's no drill core library fees, there's no increased fees for lakeshore owners for controlling aquatic plants, there's no increased habitat license fees, there's no silica mining fees. The by the farm language is not in there, and the Senate increase from ORI, we had three or four different projects in the agri that the county fairs made it at $2 million and the rest of the money just went back into the agri account, and the programs that were singled out in the fund, they can apply for the money again through at the agency through the competitive grant program. So members, it came back what I consider to be a pretty good bill. I think the Senate prevailed in most of what we tried to do, and I'd appreciate your support.
Is there any discussion? Senator Gazelka.
Thanks, Madam President. Will Senator Tomasoni yield?
Senator Tomasoni, will you yield? He will yield. Senator Gazelka.
Senator Tomasoni, I just want some clarification on Article 2, the agricultural policy. I see it's Article 2, Section 5 through 16, agriculture water quality certification. It says it creates a program that will allow state officials to work with farmers on a voluntary basis to audit water management and certify that the farmer is following accepted and recommended best practices. And here's the question I've got, Senator Tomasoni. In return for providing information and complying with agency recommendations, participating farmers would be exempt from future state water regulation. Can you explain that for me, please?
Senator Tomasoni.
I'll give it a shot, Madam President, and Senator Gazelka. My understanding of it is that what oftentimes happens on farmland is that rules change. And so when the rules change, they end up having to change a program that they started doing as a result of a previous rule. And so the attempt here is to have some conformity to a particular attempt at the farmer to manage his land in a certain way and to have at least 10 years to do it this way without having to change it again in the event that some new rule comes along. And that was my understanding of it, of how that works. And I think if you want anything more concise than that, you have to ask Senator Sparks.
Madam President, I just want
Senator
to make
Gazelka.
I'll make a comment about it. If Senator Sparks, now that he's here, he might want to comment. But as I look at that, my one concern is we can pass one thing one year and the very next year repeal it. There's a section in here related to nurseries. I know we passed stuff that the very next year was repealed. So I like the idea that they would be exempt, but I don't think they'd be exempt from federal mandates. And in particular, the state can change on a dime. But I do have one more question for Senator Eaton, if she would yield.
Senator Eaton. Senator Eaton, will you yield? She will yield. Senator Gazelka.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Eaton, the section related to the product stewardship program for paint, I know that that was an area that you were focused on. I'm just wondering what is going to happen to the cost of paint. I know it was sort of a voluntary program, or they decided with a little help from us they wanted to do it, but what's going to happen to the cost of paint under this program?
Madam President.
Senator Eaton.
Senator Gazelka, when they testified in our committee, they stated that actually they thought they'd save money because they'd be recycling the paint and reusing it, and it will save the counties a lot of money because they won't have to manage the disposal of it. So I think it's a win-win.
Madam President, if I can just for the record, I guess I want to say that I think if we use around 10 million gallons of paint in a year, other sources are saying the cost is going to be an extra $7.5 million annually. And for the record, that will drive up the cost of paint for those that purchase it. So thank you.
Is there any more discussion? Senator Weber.
Thank you, Madam President. There's a question that I have. If Senator Tomasoni would yield, please.
Senator Tomasoni will yield. Senator Weber.
Thank you, Madam President. In the Senate language, we had taken some of the money that was considered as the ethanol program payment tails, and there was money dedicated to RE, the Minnesota Agricultural Education Leadership Council, 4-H, FFA, etc. Those funds have been taken out of the final bill, and I would like to ask exactly why they disappeared.
Senator Tomasoni.
Madam President and Senator Weber, that was your bill that we tried to fund in the Agri account, and The only thing that we were able to hold was $2 million for county fairs. It wasn't in the House bill, and they wanted to adhere to the governor's recommendations and to not take any agri money and to let the ag department dole out the money through the competitive grant process. I was on your side the whole way. In fact, we went right down to the wire with it, and the only thing we were able to hold was the $2 million for the county fairs.
Senator Weber.
Thank you, Madam President. The actual fact that the money is in the competitive grant program isn't necessarily, Madam President, something that gives me great heartburn. It's just that if the competitive grant program is so great, I certainly wish that the tens of millions of dollars that were transferred out of the Renewable Development Fund that was available for competitive grant programs wouldn't have been raided, and so that program could have existed as well. Thank you.
Madam President, Senator Weber, I forgot a couple other things. Money for ORI that was in the bill was going to end up getting funded in the tax bill, and then there was $750,000 for the Morris plant that ended up in the economic development bill. So we some of the things did actually get done.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Madam President. Would Senator Sparks yield for a couple questions?
Senator Sparks will yield. Senator Sparks.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Sparks, with regards to the ag portion here, the article, the agricultural water quality certification, could you talk to me a little bit about that? The Senate did not support this program, and how did it come about in the committee that we accepted that? Then I have a couple other questions I'd like to follow up with, Madam President.
Senator Sparks.
Thank you, Madam President, and Senator Ingebrigtsen. And you are correct. It wasn't carried in Senator Tomasoni's bill, but the bill was heard in the Jobs, Agriculture, and Rural Development Committee on March 13th. It moved through the process. It had to go be re-referred to the Judiciary Committee because there were some data practices issues that were involved in the bill, and then it resided finally in Senator Tomasoni's committee. We had a lot of debate on this. It was obviously a governor's recommendation and was something that the Department of Ag felt strongly about. We had many long discussions in the conference committee, and at the end of the day, with some compromise language, we did accept that language.
Yield for another question, Madam
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Would Senator yield for another question, please?
He will yield, Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you. Can you tell me how much it's going to cost and who will be paying for it, Senator Sparks?
Senator Sparks.
Thank you, Madam President, and Senator Ingebrigtsen. Currently, the Senate has it funded through a very small general fund appropriation. There's $1 million currently in the legacy bill that's being debated. The key factor, I think, to remember is there's a 2-to-1 match that potentially we could get. In the House, there's $3 million worth of legacy funding, and that will be leveraged by $6 million from the United States Department of Ag. So 2-to-1 match to get the program up and running, Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Senator. And would you yield for another question, please?
He will yield. Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Senator Sparks. And how many FTEs will we need to add, and how many certifying agents are we going to need to hire for this program?
Senator Sparks.
Madam President and Senator Ingebrigtsen, again, it's a voluntary pilot program. I believe that most of the money will go out to grants and loans to the landowners, and I don't know that we ever really discussed if there would be any additional FTEs that would be added through the Department of Ag.
Senator Dames.
Thank you, Madam President. Would Senator Sparks yield?
Senator Sparks will yield. Senator Dames.
Senator Sparks, could you tell me these voluntary audits that are going to be worked with on the with the farmers on this water certification program, can you explain to me what that audit's all about and how that's going to work?
Senator Sparks.
Madam President and Senator Dames, you're referring to the new program. Obviously, it's a new pilot program. As I stated earlier, it's totally voluntary. It's a pilot project for three watersheds across the state that will be implemented by the commissioner. and then move forward in that regard.
Senator Dames.
Thank you, Senator Sparks. Would Senator Sparks yield for another question or two?
Senator Sparks, will you yield? He will yield. Senator Dames.
Can you tell me, Senator Sparks, when this was in the Ag Committee, we had a discussion on how owned land was going to be treated in relationship to leased land in situations to where the landowner did not want to have his land included in this certification process. Can you tell me if that's been resolved, and if so, how?
Senator Sparks.
Madam President and Senator Dames, I know that that was an issue, and I believe the Department of Ag has spoken to you. Since the bill did move out of the Jobs, Ag, and Rural Development Committee, we continue to have discussions with the stakeholders. We worked hard to clarify that lease versus own language, Senator Dames, that I think that you're aware of. And I think that what we would like to do for those owners that lease land was be just to put best management practices in place, but they would not be required to do anything beyond that. The owner would actually have to do that. And again, I think those issues were addressed in the compromise language.
Senator Dames.
Thank you, Madam President. Would Senator Sparks yield for another question?
He will yield. Senator Dames.
Senator Sparks, as I understand, if the farmers agree to this voluntary certification program, become certified, that would give them a 10-year window to continue their certification and not have to qualify with new water regulations. I believe that to be correct, but the question I have is, will this also apply to federal mandates?
Senator Sparks.
Madam President, Senator Dames, I missed the last part of your question. I know you talked about the 10-year certification, but I didn't catch the end of your statement or question.
Senator Dames.
Madam President, thank you. Let me repeat that, Senator Sparks. The certification, if a farmer agrees to go on the water certification program, which is voluntary, when he qualifies and meets the standards, he'll have a 10-year exemption from new water quality programs. Will that also include federal programs, that exemption?
Senator Sparks.
Madam President and Senator Dames, I think that it's a new pilot program at the state. I believe that that would be up to the federal government. The 10-year exemption would be under state law, and I guess I can't speak to what would happen with the federal legislation or federal law.
Just a moment. The rule says that no one should stand or walk between the speaker and the president, so please follow the rules. Senator Dames.
Thank you, Madam President. Just one more question for Senator Sparks, if he'll yield.
Senator Sparks will yield. Senator Dames.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Sparks, do you know this is a pilot program? Currently, it is limited to, well, I shouldn't say limited. Currently, it's going to be in three different watersheds. In order for the Department of Agriculture to expand into more watersheds, will they have to come back to the legislature and get approval for this? I believe that's the way the bill left our body, our Ag Committee, and I'm just wondering if that's still the way it is.
Senator Sparks.
Madam President, Senator Dames, that's a good question. I know that we had a lot of discussion on it. Again, as we said, it's a voluntary program. I think the key, though, too, to remember that is that they don't necessarily have to come back to the legislature, but obviously if this program is going to move forward, it's going to continue to need funding. And also there's a biannual report that will come back, Senator Dames, to both you and myself and Senator Tomasoni for us to review. And before the commissioner moves forward, too, he needs to go through the Minnesota Agriculture Water Quality Certification Program Advisory Committee, which many of the stakeholders sit on, and also the three the watershed districts that could potentially take advantage of the new program.
Senator Dames.
Thank you, Madam President. Would Senator Tomasoni yield for a question?
Senator Tomasoni will yield. Senator Dames.
Thank you, Madam President. I see that the Pollution Control Agency received about $1 million more than what was requested either by the Senate or the House. And I also see that ENR received about $4.5 million more than what was in the House or Senate bill when they went to the conference committee. I'm just curious as to why those were increased above what neither the House or the Senate had, why they were increased and how that come about.
Senator Tomasoni.
Madam President, Senator Ames, if you look at the final spreadsheet, there's actually a reduction in PCA of almost $1.7 million.
Senator Ames.
Thank you, Senator Tomasoni. Would Senator Tomasoni yield again?
He will yield, Senator Tomasoni.
How about the Department of Natural Resources? I see there that's about $4.5 million more.
Senator Tomasoni.
Madam President, the money that is in money that we substituted as a result of the water fees that the House was charging and trying to increase on the farm, increase fees on the farmers and on large water users, and as well as anybody who used water in their homes. And so we did not accept the fees, and most of the increase comes from there.
Senator Dames.
Thank you, Madam President, members.
Senator Newman.
Madam President, I had thought about asking Senator Tomasoni to yield for a couple of questions, but I think what I've decided to do is just make a couple of observations for him and remind him that when we were in the Finance Committee, there was some discussion regarding air quality monitoring that was going on throughout the state of Minnesota, and I had questioned the wisdom of some of the language that was in the bill. And I note that the language that we had talked about is still in the bill, and it's contained on page 49 from lines 9 through 21. And the language that I am questioning and want to just bring to Senator Tomasoni's attention is the language that says that the commissioner shall give priority to areas where this monitoring is going to occur, to areas where low-income indigenous American Indians and community of color are disproportionately impacted by pollution from highway traffic, air traffic, and industrial sources. And it just seems to me that what we should be focusing on are communities that are being adversely impacted by pollution, and not necessarily singling out particular groups of individuals. The bill then goes on to say, and I honestly don't remember if this is new language or if it was in the language when we saw it in the Finance Committee, it goes on to say that the purpose of this language is to ensure environmental justice will be applicable to those areas, and then defines environmental justice as meaning fair treatment to people of all races, cultures, and income levels in the development, adoption, implementation, and enforcement of environmental laws. And it seems to me that those two paragraphs are at odds with one another. How can we, on the one hand, give priority to folks who are of a particular ethnic background or of a particular economic background or a particular race, and in the very next paragraph say that we are supposed to treat everybody equally and fairly? And it seems to me that that language is simply not appropriate in deciding how we're going to spend our money and where are we going to implement these air quality monitoring systems. So I really think it could be handled in a much different manner. I understand what you're trying to get at, Senator Tomasoni, and that is to treat people fairly and equally. And so rather than having the kind of language that appears in your bill, perhaps you could have included language which would have said priority, for instance, priority should be based on areas and in communities that are adversely impacted by pollution, irrespective of income, race, ethnic background, or culture. And if you were to phrase your bill in language of those terms, I think that you, in all likelihood, would have carried out what your real intent was in this matter. Thank you, Madam President.
Senator Lemmer.
Thank you, Madam President. I wish to ask Senator Tomassoni a question.
Tomassoni will yield. Senator Lemmer.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Tomassoni, there was some reference to sand frack mining when the bill went out, and I see that there's references in the bill now. Could you tell me if that language has changed in any way? You and I had discussions, as you may recall, in the Senate Finance Committee, and you were informing the committee that there might be concern about how certain mining policies that were proposed earlier this year might have a negative effect on the mining operations in other parts of the state. Could you please explain what the sand mining language now is, especially for the areas of southeast Minnesota?
Senator Tomassoni.
Madam President, Senator Lemmer, thank you for that question, because I had the same concern, and I wanted to make sure that whatever regulations that we would put into this bill in regards to the silica sand in southeastern Minnesota was specific to southeastern Minnesota, and that it wouldn't be encompassing or be have any kind of negative effect on other on any other kind of mining in the rest of the state. And by the time we got done with the conference committee, everybody seemed very comfortable with it, and that it was all going to be specific to southeastern Minnesota, and the trout streams are going to be taken care of. So I'm comfortable with the language.
Senator Lemmer.
Madam President and Senator Tomassoni, could you tell me, being privy to discussions in the conference committee, the industries that are involved in wishing to mine sand in South Minneapolis, southeast Minnesota, are they satisfied with the language, or do they have concerns that the possible regulations that are in this bill would be detrimental to their profitable operation of mining sand in that region?
Senator Tomassoni.
Madam President, Senator Lemmer, they were a party to the language, and they're very comfortable with the language.
Is there any more discussion? Senator Rood.
Madam President, will Senator Schmidt yield?
Senator Schmidt will yield. Senator Rood.
Madam President, we heard Senator Schmidt's bill in many of our committees, and we had many good conversations about this as they went through our many committees. And I guess I would like to, I know that Senator Tomassoni worked very hard on the silica sand mining, but I would just, Senator Schmidt, how does that fit into your district and what you were trying to accomplish with this bill?
Senator Schmidt.
Madam President and Senator Root, thank you for the question. We began the discussion here on silica sand mining many months ago, and as I mentioned at the outset, I wasn't married to any particular proposal. I wanted to get the conversation started up here in St. Paul. After 2 years of organizing at the local level, a number of folks have educated themselves and brought this issue to the forefront in St. Paul. I was very pleased with the level of discussion in many of our committees, and I thank members for their attention to this matter. I think we're leaving the 2013 session with a good package that's going to help us get silica sand mining right in Minnesota. We're bringing state agency expertise together with local decision makers. And I think it's going to help us find a way to mine sand in southeastern Minnesota in a responsible manner that protects the most sensitive regions, particularly those around our trout streams. I think that the language that we have put together is going to help us get it right. We've got a technical advisory team that's going to work towards establishing model ordinances that can be adopted at the local level. We're going to have state agency expertise that's going to be available for local decision makers in setting ordinances and making permitting decisions. We also have an online ordinance library that's going to be available to local decision makers, extension of local moratoria authorization for local units of government that would like to hit the pause button for an additional year or two as they consider new information and ordinances and advice that's coming to them. We also have a good compromise agreement around the trout stream protection, a one-mile buffer, essentially a setback, in which mining will be prohibited unless a DNR permit is issued. And that DNR permit is going to hinge upon an in-depth hydrological study that will demonstrate whether or not sand mining within that 1 mile from trout streams is appropriate and safe. So, Madam President, I do think that we have a good balance of policy. I think this is a great example of Minnesota anticipating a challenge with increased mining permits coming into southeastern Minnesota. And I'm confident to say that we've taken a strong step forward in getting this right. We're going to have to keep our eyes on the ball moving forward in the next couple of years, but this is a good compromise package that's going to set us up to succeed. So thank you.
Senator.
Madam President, just one more question. Will Senator Tomasoni yield?
Senator Tomasoni will yield. Senator Rood.
Senator Tomasoni, you know, the AIS issue is very pertinent in my district, as it is in many others. Could you just maybe touch on how much money that we that is in the bill for the AIS, and will it go for the invasive species, or if there's any CARP money in this bill?
Senator Tomasoni.
Okay, Madam President, the number that we went out with was $7.5 million in the Senate bill, and it's the same number coming back because we reduced the general fund appropriation, but we used some of the game and fish money to increase it. So it's still at $7.5 million for the biennium.
Senator Benson.
Thank you, Madam President. Could you ask Senator Tomasoni to answer couple of questions for me?
Senator Tomasoni will yield. Senator Benson.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Tomasoni, there was a provision for the state nurseries where they were going to sell evergreen seedlings but leave the deciduous seedlings to the private sector, because the private sector had done significant ramp up to prepare to provide bare root seedlings to the market here in Minnesota. Could you please explain to the body what happened to that provision?
Senator Tomasoni.
Well, Madam President, our bill, we had a repealer in our bill, and the House had a study in their bill, and so we adopted both provisions so that the repealer is in place and the study will go forward also.
And Madam
Senator
President,
Benson.
Senator Tomasoni, if I could follow up. So we repealed the state law that the private nurseries were depending on as they planned their business plan going forward. It takes years to develop a seedling nursery, and they'd made significant investments. So this bill repeals the policy that they were dependent on, and so now they will have to compete with subsidized DNR forests for the same market. Senator Tomasoni, is that an accurate understanding of what your repeal does?
Senator Tomasoni.
Madam President, Senator Benson, that was how the bill was when we went out, when we left the Senate. The repealer was in the language, and so we kept the Senate position, and we also accepted the House position.
Okay, and Madam President, if I may ask
Senator Benson.
If I may ask Senator Tomasoni one more question.
Senator Tomasoni will yield. Senator Benson.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Tomasoni, how many FTEs in this bill?
Senator Tomasoni.
Madam President, Senator Benson, new FTEs, current FTEs, how many which ones do you want?
Madam President,
Senator Benson.
I will clarify. I meant additional FTEs in this bill.
I don't know the answer to that.
Okay. Madam President, Senator Tomasoni, could you tell me who would be available to answer that question? I think it's important before we vote.
Senator Tomasoni.
Madam President, I would think the commissioners of the agencies would know that, but the additional money that we have in the bill is our $25 million target, and much of it is for forestry and for the water management. And so I don't know that we actually added very many people in the bill at all.
Sam Benson.
Madam President, Senator Tomasoni, I wouldn't have asked the question except I thought I heard over 100 in the House, and I wanted to be clear what the number actually was. If you say it's not very many, I would like to know what not very many is. And so, Madam President, could Senator Sparks yield and answer the question, how many FTEs in this bill?
Will Senator Sparks yield? Senator Sparks?
Madam President,
I'm sorry, the question is addressed right now to Senator Sparks.
Madam President, Senator Benson. Will withdraw my question if Senator Tomasoni has been able to find an answer.
Senator Tomasoni.
Madam President, it's my understanding that because of cutbacks from previous years, the money that's in the bill this year is there for more than anything to retain jobs and not to hire new ones.
Senator Benson.
Madam President, Senator Tomasoni, from current law, compared to your final conference committee report, how many new FTEs?
Well,
Senator Tomasoni.
Madam President, Senator Benson, I don't have an exact figure for you, but my understanding is that because there was a lot of one-time money put in the bill from the last biennium, that in order to keep the people working that were hired the last time, we had to fund it in the way we funded it.
So, Madam
Senator
President,
Benson.
Let me be clear with the body. We have no idea how many FTEs are in this bill. It could be a few. It could be a lot. But we have no idea. And members, it might be a decent bill, but it is unacceptable that a chief author of a piece of legislation, Senator Lurie clearly answered the question this morning. He had it at his fingertips. And I'm sorry, Senator Tomasoni, it's not a hard question. We are in budget week. Part of our responsibility is to know exactly what we're doing. We can see the dollars, but how many people are we hiring? And we understand what the policies are. We have a pretty good grasp on that. But the people matter, too. And this is not necessarily just a backfill. And if it is, then show me the numbers.
Next, we have Senator Dames.
Thank you, Madam President. Would Senator Tomasoni yield?
Senator Tomasoni will yield. Senator Dames.
Senator Tomasoni, could you explain to me this groundwater permitting changes that are included in the bill? I think they're in Section 67, 69, 70, 71, 72. Could you give me a kind of a summary of what that's all about and how that's going to work and affect agriculture?
Senator Tomasoni.
Madam President, Senator Dames, my understanding is that that was compromise language that we put in at the end, and it's going to have very little effect on agriculture.
Senator Dames.
Would Senator Tomasoni yield again?
He will yield. Senator Dames.
Senator Tomasoni, maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong, but my understanding that this is going to take away some of the exemptions for the small groundwater users, and in many cases that would be agriculture. So if it's going to take those exemptions away from small groundwater users, would that not possibly have an adverse effect on agriculture?
Senator Tomasoni.
Madam President, Senator Dames, they'll be issuing general permits, and so they won't be individual permits, and so if you fit into the general description, you'll be okay.
Senator Dames.
Thank you, Senator Tomasoni. Madam President, would Senator Tomasoni entertain another question, please?
Senator Tomasoni will
Yield. Senator Dames.
Senator Tomasoni, on the Game and Fish Fund, last year, remember, we increased the license fishing fees and hunting fees, stuff like that, and I understand that that's bringing about $7.2 million into the non-general fund for the DNR. Do you feel that those funds are being used, that additional funding is being used by the DNR according to the guidelines of the fish and game license?
Senator Tomasoni.
Madam President and Senator Deems, when the bill left here, we had some concerns about how the money was being used, and so we only allocated half of the money. We felt comfortable at the end of the conference committee that the money was being used in the manner that we were expecting it to be used.
Madam Senator President. Deems. So is it, Senator Tomasoni, then is it fair that we can assume then that the differences that you felt were there were ironed out so that everything is taken care of now?
Senator Tomasoni.
Madam President, Senator Deems, we're comfortable. The governor was very adamant about funding it at the full level that the fees raised last year when we raised the fees, and so I'm comfortable with how DNR is using the money.
Senator Dames.
Madam President, thank you, and thank you, Senator Tomasoni.
Senator Peterson B.
Madam President, I'd like to impose a call of the Senate.
The Senate is under call.
Madam President.
Senator Tomasoni.
I move that further proceedings under the call be dispensed with and the Sergeant at Arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
All those in favor of that motion say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. The Sergeant is instructed to bring in the absent members. Senator Peterson J.
Thank you, Madam President. Would Senator Tomasoni yield for
Senator Tomasoni will yield. Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Tomasoni, I had a question that relates back to the DNR tree nurseries again. Do you recall or can you share with the body who actually approached you to repeal the legislation that was passed last session that would had a plan to be essentially close down these nurseries? Who brought that idea to you?
Senator Tomasoni.
Madam President and Senator Peterson, we upheld the Senate position, and it was in our bill. And if I'm not mistaken, it might have been a Senator Saxhawk bill.
Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Madam President. Would Senator Saxhawk yield?
Senator Saxhawk is not in the chamber. I believe he's in conference committee.
Okay. Thank you, Madam President. Well, members, I did have a chance to get a couple more handouts to you, and I would argue I think the state agency probably brought this idea forward. You can see the first handout I brought and distributed to you is the DNR price list. Their 2013 price list for tree seedlings. If you take a look at what I highlighted there for you, the white pine, which they talk about a tree that they grow and sell a great deal of, you can see that the DNR sells a bundle of 100 or a box of 100 for $40. Remember, that's 40 cents each. You can see on the second price list I mailed out to you members is a price list from a private sector grower. If you look down about halfway down the page, in fact, I actually made a mistake because I actually circled a much shorter, a much less expensive tree. You'll see I accidentally circled 4 to 8 inch white pine seedling. They sell for $1. And actually, if you're going to compare the tree height to the tree height and have the same comparison, you can see there the private sector nursery sells a white pine that's 5 to 12 inches tall for $1.50. Members, and you can see there that the DNR sells that same tree for 40 cents. So members, if you ask yourself, well, who has an interest in bringing this legislation forward and repealing this legislation, members, it's the state agency. Because members, there is no private sector business that compete with a government agency that sells the same exact product for well under a third, actually two-thirds, well under two-thirds than what they have to sell. So remember, if you can imagine being a grower up in northern Minnesota having to compete with the DNR nursery selling trees at 40 cents when you have to sell that same tree for $1.50, you're trying to hire employees, you're trying to pay your property tax to the county and to the school district and to the township. That's why that tree costs $1.50, members. And the DNR is selling that exact same tree, members. I don't think that's good government. Is that what we want to do in Minnesota, to encourage private sector growth of development in an area of the state where it'd be very easy for somebody to till up some land and begin to plant these trees? Members, I want to ask yourself, is that something that you think is fair? I don't think it is. And it certainly is reason enough not to support this bill tonight. Members, we are actually keeping an industry in business that has direct competition with private sector businesses. And as you heard from Senator Benson, actually private sector businesses had started to move forward, make investments, and begin the process of doing custom growing to meet this demand. Members, that's why there's nobody growing these trees in northern Minnesota besides the DNR, because the state of Minnesota is in this business and they're intentionally keeping the private sector out of this business with this predatory pricing. When you sell a product for 40 cents and the private sector sells that same product, as you can see on this price list, for $1.50, members, that's predatory pricing. Even if you were to say, wow, that's pretty low, those DNR nurseries could raise that price, members. They could double the price they're selling for them now, try and bring some type of return, a minimal return to the taxpayers, and still be well under the private sector market. Members, is this what you want for Minnesota? Do you want state agencies competing with private sector business in Minnesota? I don't think you do. I don't think that's what you were telling people last fall when you're on the campaign trail talking about improving the jobs and the economy in this great state. It was not to keep state agencies in business to compete against private sector business, eliminate private sector jobs, to take away the ability of landowners in northern Minnesota to meet their obligations to the very governments that you asked them to support are putting them out of business. Members, you ought to vote no on this bill.
Is there any more discussion? Senator Dames.
Thank you, Madam President, members. First, I'd like to thank Senator Tomasoni and the conference committees for the work they've done on this bill. I think there certainly are some good areas in this bill. I'm glad to hear that the Game and Fish Fund, that got worked out, and that the conference committee conferees felt that this was being managed appropriately so that money could be released. The aquatic invasive species, that certainly is an issue in Minnesota. Everybody's concerned about that, and so I'm glad to see the level of funding we have there so that we can keep moving on that and keep trying to keep ahead of that program. Parks and trails, forest management, certainly we need to be cognizant of our resources there and take care of them, and I certainly appreciate that. There's some areas in the bill that truly have some real concern for me. One of those areas is this Ag Water Certification Program. It's kind of a situation to where the camel's got his nose under the tent with agricultural waters, And this is starting out to be a volunteer program, starting out to be a pilot program, but this can very quickly be changed from volunteer to mandatory. It can quickly go from a pilot to a non-pilot and be expanded. And I just don't think that this is a good practice for agriculture. And I'm a little bit concerned when the Department of Agriculture already had their RFPs needed to be sent in, I believe it was by the first part of April, for this program. So it was like we're just the third leg on the stool here. We really weren't needed in this process. They had already made their mind up they were going to do it, already put RFPs out, and already had watersheds picked out for this pilot program prior to us even hearing this bill in the Jobs Committee. So I think that that's very unfortunate. We have departments that go ahead and do things like that without first getting the consensus of the legislative. So that certainly causes some concern. Another concern I have is the change in the groundwater permitting. I don't think that that's good. I think that we had made some good move on that in the past 2 years, and so I hate to see that being changed. And I certainly have some concerns about the well monitoring program that's being implemented and being enforced. I don't think that that's certainly good for rural Minnesota, not good for agriculture. And I think at some point in time, you know, we need to have a little less government in our life and a little more common sense, but that's where that's at. I understand this bill is also going to increase full-time FTEs somewhere in the neighborhood of 100 plus. So, you know, we're putting a lot more people to work, and it's unfortunate when we come up with some of these things that we can't use the people we have without expanding that. We spend a lot of money expanding FTEs instead of getting the money on the ground where it really belongs, doing the projects we want done. So I think that that's unfortunate. And also the product stewardship program, now we're going to charge 75 cents a gallon of paint for this program. And you know, it just seems like every time we turn around, it's a little tax here, a little fee here, a little this, a little that, and it just makes it much tougher for not only our business people, but for our constituents to have much disposable income left at the end of the day, and I think that that's really unfortunate. I know that they worked very hard on this bill. I think there's really some good things in the bill, but there's some things that really have concerns for me, and so with that said, I'm just not going to be able to support this bill tonight. I was hoping that this bill would come back in a form that this water quality stuff would not be in it, and that's a real stopper for me. So I would suggest that our members take a strong look at this, and I would appreciate a no vote on this bill.
Senator Tomasoni renews his motion that the foregoing recommendations and conference committee report on House File 976 be now adopted, and the bill be repassed as amended by the conference committee. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Any more discussion? Secretary will give House File 976 its third reading.
House File Number 976, a bill for an act relating to state government, appropriating money for environment, natural resources, and agriculture, modifying and providing for disposition of certain revenue.
Any more discussion? Senator Rosen.
Sorry, Madam President. I was intrigued. I wasn't planning on standing up on this bill because I've spoken enough lately. But I was intrigued by Senator Benson's questions about FTEs and that the answer was not given. And from what I understand, and I guess I'll ask, would Senator Tomasoni please yield?
Senator Tomasoni will yield. Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Senator Tomasoni. From what I understand from the members over in the House that just worked on this conference committee over there, that there's 176 FTEs in the original bill, and there's more dollars going to forestry, so they figure there's 190 FTEs, folks, on this bill. And so, Senator Tomasoni, my question to you is, are you aware that there is around 190 new FTEs in your bill?
Senator Tomasoni.
Madam President, Senator Rosen, the House had about $12 million in fees in their bill, and I would think that some of those numbers come from there. But, you know, hiring people and putting people to work to do these jobs is not a bad thing. Part of what's going on in the forestry industry is that that we're running out of foresters, and in order to be able to go and survey the lands and put the trees up for logging, we have to hire people. And then in the area of the water management, it's my understanding there may be some hydrologists that'll be hired. But overall, I think this is a pretty modest bill, and if there are some new jobs, they're minimal, but the fact is that much of what happened in the last biennium in this particular budget was one-time money, and so much of the money here is keeping people working who were already working.
Senator Boson.
Thank you, Madam President. Well, Senator Tomasoni, there's 51 new jobs from because of the increase in the game and fish bills, 51 new jobs. But this total conference committee report is, from the original bill, there are 176 FTEs members, and the conference committee report with the new dollars going towards forestry is 190. So that's, I just would like to clarify that, members, between that and Health and Human Services, we got our jobs bill right there.
Seeing no further discussion, the secretary will take the roll.
Senate is under call. Membership, please vote. All members having voted, the secretary will close the roll. There being 42 ayes and 23 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Senator Bach.
Excuses.
Senator Bach, I'll read the excuses. With no objection, the following members will be excused. Senator Latz from 11:30 to 12:15 p.m. 11:30 a.m. to 12:15 p.m. Senator Herr from 11:30 a.m. to 12:15 p.m. Senator Sparks from 11:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Senator Dames from 12:10 to 1:10 p.m. Senator Champion from 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. Senator Fischbach from 2:45 to 3:45 p.m. Senator Rest from 3:55 until the end of session. Senator Cohen from 3:05 to 4:50 p.m. Senator Nelson from 4 to 4:15 p.m. Senator Laurie from 3:50 to 4:20 p.m. Senator Latz from 4:25 to 6:40 p.m. Senator Pratt from 4:10 to 4:20 p.m. Senator Fischbach, Miller, Peterson, Jay from 4:10 to 4:20 p.m. Senator Stump from 2:30 to 3 p.m. Senator Westrum from 4:45 to 5 and 5:50 to 6:40 p.m. Senator Housley, Ortman, and Rood from 5:40 to 5:50 p.m. Senator Scoy from 6 to 6:40 p.m. Senator Hayden from 3:10 to 5:30 p.m. Senator Metzen from 9:15 to 11 p.m. Senator Sparks from 9:15 to 10 p.m. Senator Hall from 11:10 to the end of session. It's late. Senator Bach.
Madam President, before we adjourn, members, tomorrow we're going to come in the afternoon, so those of you that want to attend worship service, please do so. I plan to. I can use all the help I can get. We'll come in the afternoon, take up E12, take up Senator Rest's Campaign Finance Conference Committee report. We've probably got a couple other small things to take care of, and then the big issue of the day will be to wait around for the House to send us the tax bill. The tax bill is now closed up and at the revisers. So that's likely what tomorrow will look like. If you've got a small bill that you'd like us to think about that's not controversial, contact Chris, and we'll see if we can get it on as we kind of fill a little bit of time up tomorrow. Madam President, I move the Senate do now adjourn until Sunday, May 19th, 1 p.m.
All those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. The motion prevails. The Senate stands adjourned.